COVID-19, it's a topic we're all talking about. Everyone is, it's about the only thing that you hear. And now you turn the news on, it's like the whole world has stopped and nothing else but that is happening, which I find a little frustrating because I want to know what else is going on. But anyway, with those circumstances that we live in, we've heard a whole new language be developed. And I won't go through many of them now, but perhaps one of the most regularly used phrases that are coming up is, "Sorry, I was on mute." I don't know whether it's a church meeting like we do, whether it's a business meeting, whether it's a family get together, we always hear, "Sorry, I was on mute." Or, "You're on mute," or, "Am I on mute?" And it's always strange who's drawing on my picture. Anyway, thank you. And we're familiar with this pesky little red microphone that's crossed out. "Sorry, I was on mute." Let's be careful not to allow our faith, our vision, and our gifting to be on mute. We need to declare the consistency and goodness of God. Not everything has changed. We keep talking about the new normal. We talk about change, but not everything has changed. I want to tell you today that Jesus has not changed. We read in Hebrews 13:8. And this is the Passion Translation. Jesus, the Anointed One, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. Yesterday morning, I woke up.
Morning, I woke up
from a dream.
From a dream.
It's one of those COVID statements. I suddenly got feedback. Anyway, I woke up from a dream, and in the dream, someone had been talking to me. It was very vivid, and it concluded with saying the reference to Hebrews 10, verse 22. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. I looked it up, and the words there tell us, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Or in the New Living Translation, it tells us, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." And this morning in communion, we remembered that. But the key part that I was getting at is, let us draw near to God, come into His presence, and listen to what He's saying. So today I want to just share a little bit about looking ahead. We need to keep the vision. Don't be distracted. Really, nothing has changed. And most of all, don't be muted on your faith. So let's go ahead. I like to tell stories, as you know. The problem today is I don't have any airport stories. I normally tell you of a travel, some interesting experience in an airport or an airplane or as I'm traveling, but I haven't been anywhere for the last little while, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen for some time to come. So I had to dig back in the memory archives, and I went back quite a long way this time. To my previous life in the British Royal Navy. And you can see on the screen a couple of pictures of my ship, the last ship I served in, the little wooden mine hunter. Interesting story. One time we're at sea in this little ship. And often when you're on passage traveling to another country or an exercise, not much happens. So we're just steadily cruising. And it was nighttime. And on the bridge, you just have the officer of the watch and the same sailor steering the ship. And then people tend to gather up there after supper to chat and pass the time of the day. And we were up there, I was up there, and the navigator was up there, and another guy. We were talking, and the navigator was just a young guy. He was only 21, first ship, which is always troubling for a navigator. You hope he's going to get you home. But he pointed out of the bridge windows to this light that we could see, and he says, "That's a strange light. Everywhere we go, it seems to always be in front of us. It changes direction with us. I don't know what it is. Is it a ship that we're following? Is it a light on the shore? I can't work it out." And then someone pointed out to the navigator, "But sir, that's the light on the forecastle," which is the pointy end of the ship for the less nautical amongst us. And the navigator, which of course is a troubling thing, had been following the light on the front of the ship, which is a very relative thing. It's not fixed. In our lives, in our spiritual lives, we must look beyond the forecastle. We've got to look to the light that's on the horizon. The ship moves, and if we're looking at a bearing on the ship, that's just going to move along with the winds and the seas. But we need to look to Jesus. It says in Hebrews, again, here, Hebrews 12, verse 2, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, that's where we were this morning, as we remembered Jesus. But we need to fix our eyes on him, keep looking to him, and make him our horizon point. He's the light that we need to follow. Hebrews 13:8 in the Passion Translation, Jesus, the anointed one, is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read that just a little while ago. He doesn't change. And he is the one on whom we should fix our eyes. Another quick nautical story. It must be the isolation I'm feeling, these long sea stories coming. You've probably heard this one before. It's purported to be real, but it's really an urban myth. Radio conversation of a US naval ship with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland. The Americans said, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision." Canadians, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." Americans, "This is the captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, divert your course." Canadians, "No, I say again, you divert your course." Americans, "This is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship." Canadians, "This is a lighthouse. Your call." So, yeah, we've heard that one. And fortunately, you're on mute. I didn't hear the groan. When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is our lighthouse. We are to look to him on the horizon. And he's the one we're going to follow, and the one that we get our guidance from. This last week or so, I've been looking at Haggai in my readings. And it's an interesting prophetic book. It's only two chapters, very short, but a lot in it. In the times of the prophet Haggai, God had to speak loud and clear. And you can read through it. It's a different time, and there's a context, of course, to all that. But we can pull out principles, and we can understand how God functions. And God said in this prophetic word, in this book, he said, "Give careful thought to your ways." That's an important perspective. That's an important command, suggestion that God is making This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. It's said three times here in this whole book, twice in chapter 1, 5, and 7. And the first time, he's talking about the priorities, getting our priorities right. He's explaining, you know, what's going wrong. Verse 5 is all about saying, you've planted much, but harvest little. You eat and drink, but never satisfied or full. You put on clothes, but you're never warm. You get money, but lose it through holes in your pockets. And it's the futility of what we try to do. It's the futility of life. And it's a matter of our priorities and get them right. And then in verse 7, he says it again, give careful thought to your ways. And this time he says, focus on building God's house, because he will take pleasure in it and he will be honored. So there's our perspective. Our perspective is building the house of God. And that is a, you know, an immense picture. It's not just a bricks and mortar building, although that's part of it. It's the people, it's the message, it's the way we live. Let's focus on building the house, because in building the house, God gets pleasure and God is honored. As we go through these times of difference, not being able to go out much, not necessarily going into workplaces, working from home or not working at all and so forth, here's some interesting things that we can just ponder on and give careful thought to in these days. Someone has said, out of our rest, we get vision for our lives. Let's think about that for a moment. As we're forced to perhaps change our ways, maybe even take rest and less busyness in our lives, which many people are saying, then we can renew or rediscover vision for our lives. It's also been said that, you know, in a circumstance, any situation, but something like we're in now, 10% of what happens to us it is all about 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. You know, what's happening is one thing, but how do we respond to it is important. Be careful. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Get your priorities right. Respond to what's happening around us in a correct and godly way. Remember Tony Evans? A few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we were looking and hearing Tony Evans sharing about praise. Remember what he said? When you get your praise on, heaven moves. There's a priority. There's a perspective. Get our praise on and heaven will move. Last Sunday, a tremendous word from Don Rumble. I really appreciate what he had to share. And he took us through Hebrews, which is one of those fantastic books in the Bible. And one of the things he said, there were many great things, but one of the things that caught my attention was that if we build the pattern, we only get the shadows. We have to be in Jesus, not in the pattern. You know, we need the reality of Jesus and not the pictures of him. And you know, the Old Testament is full of the types and the patterns and the pictures of what will come, of who Jesus will be. And Don said, if we build on the pattern, we only get the shadows. We want the reality. We want to see the light of Jesus on the horizon. We want to know him guiding us and leading us in the way we are to go. And, you know, even today, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, that was Old Testament stuff. And yeah, they did all the things in the temple. They did the sacrifices. And that was the old things. And that's what the pattern was. And we don't do that anymore. We're now in Jesus with the church. But if you think about it, and I'm not saying we do, and I don't think we did this morning, but communion can become a pattern. It can become a type and replace the reality of Jesus. We need to be careful in all the things we do that we don't just build the pattern and get the shadows, but we actually enter right into the reality of Jesus. Moving down a bit in Haggai chapter 2, 6 to 9, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Are we being shaken? Yes, there's a lot of shaking in the reality. It might not be physical, geological shaking right now, but there is shaking in the consistency of our lives. God says, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. A different time, for sure. And he's talking about a different perspective prophetically, but we can take scripture and apply it in different ways. And we can see here, God is shaking, but he has a purpose. Continuing in 6 to 9, verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. I believe we can look for a more glorious house. As we transition through this season, and it will come to an end, we want to see the present house coming into a greater glory. And I believe we can see that. We also want in this house to be a place of peace. There's many people around us, many people in the nations that are looking for peace. We've heard lots of stories of how conversations have been much easier. I guess it's an isolation thing. We can't talk very much all the time. So when we do connect with someone, we talk much more than we ever did, and much more on a personal level. But people are looking for peace and hope. And God is saying to his church today, as much as he did back in the days of Haggai, he's saying, the glory of this present house will be greater as we move into the next life, the way it looks, whatever it becomes, it will be greater than it has been. And he's saying, in this place, he will grant peace. So to wrap it up, keep it short this morning. You don't believe I could do a short one. But three things to do. And I think if we focus on these three things, we're going to allow Jesus to be our guiding light. We can keep him focused on the horizon. So expect Jesus to be your guiding light. Don't look at the light on the ship. Don't look at where you're at. Don't look at the relative perspective, but look and fix your eyes on Jesus. He is your guiding light. He will show you the way to go. He will keep us at peace. He will keep us sane. He will keep us focused. He will keep us moving ahead. To number two, let's expect the glory of this present house to be greater. The glory is increasing. Jesus prayed in John 17 for the unity of his church. And we've often been to that. Many people go to those scriptures and read them out and talk about the unity of the church. There is a new unity. In this isolation, there's a new unity. And that's one of the interesting things about what's happening. And we saw that just recently with the song that came out. Primarily it was influenced by an American church, but the Blessing UK, and we got great joy from that, and we played it a few times, and we experienced the unity of the church in the UK as they sang that. Since that's come out, there's been the Blessing Malaysia, the Blessing somewhere else, and yesterday the Blessing Canada. And if you haven't had a chance to see the Blessing Canada, it's all the churches across Canada singing the Blessing song. There's an amazing unity in that, and God is doing something special. I've just lost something here, but I wrote it down and someone stole a page out of my notes. How about that? No, I just lost them. I mustn't blame the COVID 19. Oh yeah, here we go. This is it. This is what one. I'm doing a Chuck here. Sorry, Chuck. Okay. Talking about the UK blessing song, and we watched the video on Wednesday night. Those that were there. And discussed the video of Tim Hughes being interviewed about writing that song. And there were a couple of things that really struck us, and afterwards we shared about it in smaller groups. At the end of the song, if you've watched it right through, some words come up after all the singing, which says, "Our buildings may be closed, but the church is alive." Our buildings may be closed, but the church is alive. That is a powerful statement. And you can't shut down the church. You can close buildings and you can stop functioning the way we function, but the church is alive and the church is moving ahead. And the church will be a greater glory as time goes on. Tim Hughes said when talking and being interviewed on the song and the way they put it together, he said at the end, towards the end, if like God is going to do something remarkable. And I was saying, I believe the question was something like, yeah, why did you do the song? What does it mean to you having all these churches singing together? And he started talking about, I believe God is doing something remarkable in this time. And then he said, pray that he is doing something remarkable and serve him, fully anticipating God is doing something special. Those are important things. Let's expect, the second thing we should do, expect the glory of this present house to be greater. And now as other nations have picked up on this, let's sing the blessing as a unified church. Then we can see, I know there's many more. It seems like every nation finds more and more to add into it. But Canada, there's lots of churches. Some here in Ottawa, we thought Ottawa was going to be skipped over, but then came back and Ottawa churches are part of it. And every major city across the nation are singing. There's a unity. Something is happening in the church because the buildings are closed. Let's hang on to it and expect the greater glory. And then the third thing you can do while we go through this is turn off your mute button. Not right now. This is a metaphorical, well, actually it's real as well. Declare the consistency and goodness of God. You know, let's speak. Let's be talking out. Let's share. God has done this in my life. Let's give our praise to God. Let's say thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and what you have done and what you will do. Let's remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and declare him to be our guiding principle. I believe if we do these three things and continue to do them, many of us already live like this, and that's great. But let's continue to do these things, and I believe we'll come out of this time a better church, a stronger church, a church with new vision, a church with new unity, and a church that will influence the nations and see God's kingdom come. So I'm just going to jump back to myself and want to pray, and then I'll hand it back to Adam. Let's take a few moments to think about these things. Think about what it really means to me. Maybe you've lost your focus on the guiding light. Just take a few moments, even as we did during communion, and say sorry to God for taking our eyes off the true light and looking at the light on the forecastle, or asking the lighthouse to move instead of us moving around the true light. Let's give thanks to the Lord for the great things. Let's take ourselves off mute. Let's shout his glory, not right now, but in time. Let's shout his glory in all the things that are around us. Let's declare his praises. Let's get our praise on so that heaven can move. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you that not everything has changed. You have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the one to whom we look, the one for consistency, for strength, for guidance. And Lord, I thank you that you are always there. And today, Father God, each one of us as individuals and us corporately as a church, we turn to you and we say, Lord, guide us and lead us. Give us your vision so that we will have a greater glory with your presence. Lord, lead us and guide us into the new things. Prepare us for what lies ahead as we submit to your holy and wonderful will. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Thank you.